الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على نبي الذي اصطفى نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهداه. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف، فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، الحمد لله، الله سبحانه وتعالى has created life in cycles. Cycles of happiness, cycles of sadness. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created change as a constant in life, in all aspects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates different seasons. You go outside right now, you see a tree. You see a tree. The leaves have fallen, and the tree is standing there without any fruit nor any leaves. And the people usually say, right, what they usually react. They will basically say what's in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَنَّا يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. This tree will never come green again. We have lost hope. This tree will never have leaves again. This tree will never become green again. This tree will never bear fruit again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differs with the humanity. And Allah says, there's no need for hopelessness. There's no need for hopelessness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His qudra, He makes the tree green again. The very tree that the people doubted would bear fruit, bears fruit again. The very leaves that had fallen down on the floor and become dust for people to walk on, become green again. And this is the cycle of life. You see, Sulaiman alayhi salam, he has a beautiful poem. It's called the Psalms. Mazamir. Psalms. Basically, the singing tunes of Sulaiman alayhi salam and David or Dawood alayhi salam. They had beautiful voices. Now, subhanallah, a lot of people don't understand that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was an anti-establishment candidate. In the Psalms, in 118, in verses 21 to 23, this is subhanallah. People are very insecure because they don't have knowledge. And they don't have knowledge because they don't want to work hard for knowledge. And when you don't work hard for something, then the picture is not clear. You know, people are used to online shopping. Nowadays we have online shopping, right? I mean, I can buy stuff from my phone. I can go on a shop website and I can click, right? But you know what happens? Consumer studies show that products that are bought online have a higher return rate. That when the people get the thing from Amazon or somewhere else, they return it because they didn't like it. They thought they would like it, but then they purchased it, they paid money, and Amazon delivered the goods to their doorstep. They found out, well, it doesn't look as good as I thought it was. Now that is very different than when you go to Costco yourself, right? And you pick the orange or the fruit or the mango and you smell it and you
figure out how to buy that and you purchase it and it comes to you. Very different. Two different experiences. So let's take inspiration from Psalms. See, a lot of Christian pastors who have accepted Islam, in Egypt from the Coptic religion, they now tell us, and they come out clean about Islam, and they say that there are so many things in the Bible pointing towards Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his eventual acceptance by the peoples of the world as the last prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without being forced to do that. It's very, very obvious in the Bible, they say, and they tell us now. And amongst them is a deacon from the Coptic church from Egypt. His name is Dr. Wadi' Shammas, or he used to be a Shammas. Wadi' Fathi or Fathi Wadi'. He was a deacon in the Coptic church, and he, after understanding what the Bible was actually saying, subhanallah, accept Islam. So it's a testimony of the person who has been a Christian all his life that Islam is not a religion that is aggressive. Islam is foretold in the Bible in many instances. For instance, let's take inspiration from the book of Psalms. You know, today we're living in a world where anybody who's anti-establishment basically wins the majority. In Psalms 18, verses 21 to 22 to 23, 24. And so look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the stone, talking about the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, and the stone that the builders rejected is the one that I will make the cornerstone. Subhanallah. The stone that the builders rejected, I will make the cornerstone. You know who's the stone that was rejected from the establishment? The establishment was that the children of Ismail are rejected because their mother is Hagar. Hajar alayhi salam, and she does not belong to the establishment. And Allah says, the stone that was rejected by the builders, I will make the cornerstone. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in Sahih Muslim, in Kitab al-Fada'il, in the Book of Virtues, he says, مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ, me and all the prophets before me, their example is, كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ بَنَى بَيْتًا, a man who builds a house, talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, house of the Anbiya. كَرَجُلٍ بَنَى بَيْتًا, a man who builds a house. وَالنَّاسُ يَطُوفُونَ حَوْلَهُ, and the people go around that house. وَيَقُولُونَ, and they say, مَا أَجْمَلُ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ, how beautiful is this house by the builder, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala metaphorically. Illa hadhihi al-labina. And Imam Nawawi says you can also say labna with a sukun. Illa hadhihi al-labina. This house is beautiful. It lacks one stone. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wa ana tilka al-labina. And I am the one who finishes that structure. The last stone that the builders rejected becomes the stone that fulfills the house. This reality will slowly come out as the information age becomes more and more robust. Right now we're living in an age where there is a lot of misinformation out there in the media about everything. About everything. Everything is a lie. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَأْتِي الزَّمَانِ, in the last hour, before the last hour, يَفْشُ الْكَذِبِ, يَفْشُ الْكَذِبِ. Lying will be so enormously normal, and integrated in all the media outlets that you will have a hard time understanding what's truth, what's reality. For instance, people will tell you, you know, so and so will win. Everything points to a certain direction. And then when you wake up the next day, the direction is opposite. So silly is the man and the woman who basically panics on misinformation. That's why in a hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the battle of Ahzab, the hypocrites and the people who were consumers of information that was not filtered, I'm not saying consuming information is wrong. I'm saying unfiltered communication is basically like being somebody who eats anything and everything without checking the ingredients. They said, "Inna an-nasa jam'u lakum fakhshawhum." The people are gathering against you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you should be afraid of them. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a very practical man. Practical man doesn't want to waste his time. Doesn't want to waste his ummah's time. Doesn't want to put you on a path that will lead you to stress, duress, and failure. He cut the chase. He basically said, "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil." He said, "Our trust is not in what you say. Our trust is in the one who is the best of allies." You know, Hakim Al-Alajwan, I don't know, a lot of people know him. He's retired. He was an NBA pro basketball player. What was he? NBA pro basketball player. He used to play for the Houston Rockets back in the 90s. Life was a little bit more simple back then. But look what he says, and I'm going to read to you from his article. He used to say, and by the way, when he was brought on, he was a center. He was very tall. But his team never won. And his team was always dysfunctional. They could never score. I mean, they had very good players, but they could never get the game at the end of the day. They would lose the game. They would lose the NBA championships. So look how he became a better player. How he became a better basketball player. He says, "Before I started practicing my faith," see, there's two things. One is to know your faith. Even people don't know that. And one is, after you know your faith, do you practice your faith? He says, "Before I started practicing my faith, I used to completely rely on myself." So he said, "Before I practiced my faith, I used to rely on myself." He said, "When I had done my best, I would be extremely frustrated if I did not win." So Hakim Al-Alajwan is teaching us a life lesson. He's saying that before I practiced my faith and became a good Muslim, a practicing Muslim, I used to be very frustrated if I worked hard and I did not succeed. It would irritate and anger me. He says that his failure, after he's given it all, would irritate him and anger him. And that was causing me to be bad to others by fighting and swearing. You know, when you lose a game, people become angry and agitated. They start basically cussing their brothers or sisters or mothers or whatever nowadays. Nowadays, there's no barriers. He says, "But when I started practicing my faith, I learned," now this is an NBA pro basketball player, it's not me. He says, "When I started practicing my faith, I learned that results are not my property. Results are not my property. I started doing my best. I then left the success and failure to Allah. I started leaving the success and failure after I did the hard work to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I was not irritated by failure and I was not overinflated by success. I was not irritated if I failed and I wasn't super confident and really glorifying myself, inflated, overinflated, if I had success. That caused me to calm down. Wallahi, a lot of people need to calm down. All you need to do is take a chill pill. Seriously. He says it made me calm down and improve my behavior towards others and my team, and myself became one team and we won the NBA championship. You see, tawakkul is what he's teaching. Tawakkul. What is tawakkul? You do your best in everything. In your studies. In your shopping. Sometimes we buy. It happened to me. You buy a whole, you know, tray of pomegranates or oranges. And you think you've checked them. You go home and you cut them open and they all have fungus inside. And then your wife gets on your case or your husband gets on your case. See, you can't even buy fruit. And then you say, Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, we have return policy. If we don't have return policy, Alhamdulillah. You tried your best. But if it didn't work out in your favor, calm down. Calm down. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Taif. He got stoned to a point that he was bleeding. He couldn't understand what was going on. Then he went to a tree and rested there. And Alhamdulillah, he realized that there is goodness in Ta'if. And today Ta'if, look where it is. Our problem is, we are very easily alarmed. Immediately we'll fall for anything. People are using WhatsApp, all these social media outlets to spread rumors, spread false information, spread stuff that's not real. I mean, start using your brains. For instance, I will not accept this, that America is a racist country. That's not true. The United States of America is not a racist country. If it was a racist country, they would not elect an African American twice for the presidency. This is history. You understand? The same country would not elect an African American as a president. It's not a racist country. You got to find out who owns CNN. You got to find out who owns these media outlets who agitate. They have a job to do, folks. They want money and ratings. And as long as there's enough stupid people outside who believe what they throw them, if you throw a hook, you know what? The stupid fish is the fish that gets caught on a hook. Don't fall for the hook. Fall for the real deal. Here's what the answer for everything is. If somebody asks me, Sheikh, give me one thing that will solve all of my problems. All of my problems. I'll give it to you. Any problems in your life, wallahi, any problems in your life is rooted in the hadith. There's an answer for this. This hadith, a correct hadith. Undoubtedly sahih hadith. It's not like, you know, some ulama say sahih, some say right. This is 100% authentic hadith. The ulama say, هذا الكلام صحيح شرعا ومجرب عرفا. Not only is this hadith authentic and according to the principles of the Sharia, it has also been tested and tried and it works. فعن أبي بن كعب أنه قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. أبي بن كعب رضي الله عنه, who was writing the Quran as well. You know, Ubay bin Ka'ab used to write the Quran. He asked the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inni ukthiru salata alayk. I send a lot of salutations during my day on you. Fakam aj'al laka min salati. How much should I do that, you know? Because I guess thanks to him we have this information. May Allah be pleased with him. He said, how much should I do? How much salutation should I send on you? Because now I'm at a point I don't understand anymore. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ma shi't, whatever you prefer. Whatever you prefer. He says, قُلْتُ الرُّبْعُ, should I do it 25%? 25%, الربع, one-fourth. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا شِئْتْ, whatever you want. فَإِنْ زِدْتَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ, if you do more than 25% or one-fourth, it's good for you. قُلْتُ النِّصْفُ, he said, okay, if you're saying more, should I make it half of my dua? Like if you're sitting to make dua for 15 minutes, right? 7.5 minutes you send the salawat on the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the rest you make dua for yourself. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ma shi't, whatever you wish. فَإِنْ زِدْتَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ, if you go over that, that'll be better for you. He says, قُلْتُ فَالثُّلْثَانِ, two-thirds, 75%, almost. He says, مَا شِئْتْ فَإِنْ زِدْتَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ, if you go over, that'll be better for you still. He says, قُلْتُ أَجْعَلْ لَكَ صَلَاتِي كُلُّهَا, I will not make dua for myself, but rather I will sit and focus on your praise only. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَنْ, if this is true, and you really intend to commit yourself to this, تُكْفَى هَمَّكْ, no problem will befall you ever. وَيُغْفَرُ لَكَ ذَنْبَكْ, and all of your sins will be forgiven. رواه الترمذي وقال حسن صحيح. الترمذي says is a حسن صحيح رواية, وإمام أحمد says is حسن, and so does Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. And this was in response to a man who asked this mufti a question. He says, هل يجوز أن نقول إن الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تحل بها العقد وتفرج بها الكرب? Is it true, O Shaykh, that if we keep sending salutations on our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, it will open the knots that nobody else can open? You know, complications in life, complications, عقد. And it will relieve us from our insecurities and our fears and our problems that we think are going to befall us. So then the response was this hadith. And then he says that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, ibn al-Qayyim, and most of the scholars also indicate that if a person gets forgiveness and the relief from his insecurities and his problems in this life, definitely in the hereafter he will get much better than what he has. So the fatwa is what? You should do that. The problem is we sometimes disregard the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, the heart has four levels of purification. Sheikh Yahya wrote us, hafizahullah, he says that there are four levels of purification. The first level of purification is to clean your thawb, to have your clean clothes. Clothes should be clean from filth. The other one is that your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears, your body should be free from sin. You should not sin with them. Not watch inappropriate things. not in use your hands in doing haram, etc., etc., etc. The third level of purity is to clean your heart from the feelings that are wrong, like hate, arrogance, takabbur, greed, animalistic desires. And the final level of purity is that in your heart, in the secret of the most inner secrets, because a human heart has a sanctuary. A man came to one of the ulama of tazkiyah and he says, what do you say? Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa. He was asking a question on aqidah. You know, what do you say about the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, dominated his arsh? So he, the scholar, replied and said to him, هَلْ إِسْتَوَى الرَّحْمَانُ عَلَىٰ عَرْشِكَ. He said, has Allah dominated your arsh? And then he pointed to his heart. And the man put his head down. He said, no. If Allah does not dominate your heart and your feelings that you have inside, why are you concerned about what Allah is going to do with others? You, my friend, are a creature of Allah. The sanctuary where Allah stays is the heart. And the tajalliyat of Allah, and the nur of Allah, and the rahmah of Allah, and the sakina from Allah is on the heart. That's why in the Quran you read, whenever the sahaba had turbulence in their life, he says, فَأَنزَلَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمَ السَّكِينَ, right? Didn't he say on their shoulders, on their hand? He said on the qulub. And the wahi used to come in the qalb. The Nabi ﷺ used to say, إِنَّمَا تَنَامُ أَعْيُنِي, my eyes sleep, my heart does not sleep. The heart does not sleep. Why? Because Allah's brightness and glory is shining on that heart. That cornerstone that the builders rejected has become the foundation of all universe. The cornerstone that the builders rejected. And the builders are still rejecting it. Eventually, everybody will realize that this is a man worthy of our praise. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, don't fall victim to news media outlets in agitating your feelings. Alhamdulillah, we live in a country that has laws and regulations and institutions and a constitution. This is a favor on us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But why did Allah send us here? That's the question. Did Allah send us here? Why did Allah send us here? Did Allah send us here so we can forget about our deen? Or should He send us here to teach the people what Islam is really all about? And if you do not follow that program, then Allah will create situations in which you will be shaken a little bit. So you can come back to your senses. Come back to your senses. In communist Russia, there was a time there was no masjid. To build a masjid was not allowed. Listen to what I'm saying. This is history. Listen to what I'm saying. Now Vladimir Putin inaugurated the first masjid in Russia. True or not?
True.
True. Why? Because the du'as of the Muslims. Muslims are weak people. They want to coexist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an opportunity. Look at our young boys and girls. Instead of focusing on the pop media and trying to color yourself in the tradition that is not the tradition of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My friend, if you want to be successful, you have to wipe and erase your ego and become the completion of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have to follow what he is teaching you. You have to forget yourself and adopt his manners. You have to adopt his way of looking. You have to adopt his way of treating other people. You have to adopt his way of eating. You have to adopt his way of walking. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had mu'jizat. One man used to make fun of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, go read the book Shama'il al-Tirmidhi by Imam al-Tirmidhi. He says a man used to make fun of the way the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to walk. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had one gift. You know what his gift was? He used to see from the front and the back. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to have 360 degree vision. Did you know that? That's one of the karamat and the mu'jizat of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He used to be walking and he used to see behind him. No problem, Allah would show him. SubhanAllah, this man used to walk behind the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and try to walk like him, you know, like he used to walk. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cursed him one time. He says, Afdallahu faq. May Allah make your mouth empty. Immediately all of his teeth fell down. وَأَعْرَجَكَ اللَّهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. May you walk like this for the rest of your life. The man became limp. Until he died, he used to walk like that. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his karamat, that when he used to walk with a tall man, he used to appear taller than him, although he wasn't tall. And when he used to sit in a majlis, he used to make the most dominant person, although he was middle height. This is in our tradition. Look at our faces. When wallahi, I'm sometimes teaching, and I look at our youngsters' faces, they think like I'm talking Mars language or something like that. Sheikh, never heard this before. Well, brother, you never read it. You never spend time. You don't think it's important. Then how are you going to know? How are you going to know? How are you going to know? See, and that's the trickery. The trickery is to cut the Muslim from his tradition so he becomes easy to fool. Alhamdulillah, we do not live in a racist country. Don't fall for all this garbage that you see on TV. Instead of spending 17 minutes, I actually had a little, you know, discussion with my son on this. I told him last night, hey, instead of watching the news, why don't you go and pray two rak'ahs, so read some Quran. Of course, he's young, so he said, I don't understand what you're saying. I said, eventually you will understand what I'm saying. Go sit down in the musalla. Get your subha out. Put your head down. Do muraqabah. Do nothing, ya Shaykh. Just sit down and feel that Allah's mercy is coming on your heart, and anything from your heart is being cleansed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one exercise that we do, spiritual people. Or sit down and send them salutations. Say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Just keep saying this. When you stand up, when you're working. Our ulama say, eventually a man will become like a driver. He knows all the lessons of driving. His body reacts to the right situations, but his heart is always even answering the cell phone, talking to his wife, talking to his children, but his body reacts to the driving, right? Similarly, when a person dedicates himself to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the salutations of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it becomes second nature. وَبِهَا تُحَلُّ الْعُقَدْ وَتُفْرَجُ الْكُرَبْ. Try it. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not an ordinary man, remember that. I'm telling you, you better learn this quickly. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not an ordinary man. He is a remarkable creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know why Allah created the arsh that is so huge? Because the immense power of the arsh is such that if the message from Allah is not filtered down, humanity will die. The ulama teach us that the Nabi ﷺ told a man one time that all this creation that you see, the seven heavens and the earth and everything, the whole universe, compared to the kursi of Allah, the chair of Allah, the mighty chair of Allah, is like if you throw a halaqa, a round object like a ring, in a vast desert. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. His kursi, the chair, is actually wider than the universe and everything that it holds. And then he says, the kursi, فَضْلُهُ إِلَى الْعَرْشِ. The arsh is greater than the kursi, just like that ring is smaller to the desert. The arsh is vaster than the desert, and the kursi is like a small ring. And it is such, it's the last extent of creation. Arsh is the last thing. The last thing of existence is arsh. And it has pillars. And the pillars have carriers. You know, and essentially some of the ulama say, the pillars are channels of information. And there are angels under the arsh holding it. And there are angels around the arsh. وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِّينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْحَرْشِ يُسَبِّحُونَ. There are angels around the arsh on top, and there are angels underneath holding it. And what they do? They process whatever the message is sent from the arsh and the tajalliyat and the barakat on the creation. It has to be filtered down. Otherwise, anything will be destroyed in its path. That's why we have been insulated. Just like the sun is a mighty creature of Allah, and Allah has insulated us by keeping the right distance and the clouds and the UV filter. Otherwise, all of us will burn and perish. When you have somebody that you worship, or a being that you worship of this stature, why are you concerned? وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى التَوَكَّلْ. Have reliance on who? Allah says, رَبُّ عَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ رَبُّ عَرْشِ الْكَرِيمِ. The one who has the mightiest throne of all. There is no other mightiest creature than that. We find inspiration in time of duress and stress in the Quran, in the Sunnah, in the traditions that have been left behind. If your heart is not calmed by that, go find and seek a knowledgeable person who will teach you what your traditions are that you do not know, so then you may benefit from them. Benefit from them. So the message is the same. Regardless of the changing seasons of humanity, regardless of whether the sun will come out today or tomorrow, whatever happens in your life, you have a cornerstone that Allah has given you in the embodiment of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is Sayyidul Kawnain. Do you know why Medina is saved from the Dajjal? Do you know why Medina is saved from the Dajjal? Do you know why the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Al-Madinatu la yadkhuluha al-ta'un. No epidemic will enter Medina. Do you know why? It's not because of Medina. It's because who is in Medina? It's not because of Medina. It's buildings and roads and rocks and mountains. It's because who is in Medina? Who is? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So may Allah renew our faith in loving our Nabi more than what we have done. We have wronged him. We have disrespected him. We disrespect our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without knowing. People who do not keep the sunnah beard, they are every time raising the blade, you are saying with your actions, I don't think he's important. I don't think this man matters. I know for myself what is better than that man. No. No. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never used to look at anybody who did not have a beard. He used to stay away from them. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to stare away from women whose heads would be naked. He would turn away. Stop making him turn away in your life. Because if we follow his example, Allah will have mercy on us. If we do not follow his example, Allah will not care about us. He will leave us to our own devices, and then we will only do harm to ourselves. Do you follow what I'm saying? My respected brothers, my respected elders, my respected sisters, my respected youth, I'm not in no position to teach you. I can only tell you what my life has shown me and what my teachers have taught me and what all the mashayikh all over the world are saying. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be revered. He should be loved. He should be cherished. He should be followed. He is a remarkable man. You will see eventually everybody who hates the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eventually comes around. Eventually comes around. Eventually his logic kicks in. Eventually he says, this man that I hate so much, what did he do? He starts reading about him. He starts learning about him. And then his heart is melted by the grace that he finds in the books. But the problem is, the people who profess to follow his example are the ones who turn away from him. May Allah save us from that wretched faith. Amen. If there are any announcements, inshallah, we'll let the community announcers come and forward.